Now more than ever, consumers expect comprehensive and efficient digital solutions when making purchases and managing them. But what does that mean for organizations, individuals, and suppliers within the complex world of travel? This podcast episode is part of a special mini-series of ARC Talk called Omnichannel Chatter, where we sit down with experts and key players in the industry to talk about all things omnichannel retailing. Let's dive in.
Hello, everyone. This is Shelley Younger, and we're here with another episode of Omnichannel Chatter. Sarah, how are we doing today?
Great. This is Sarah Boyd, and today we are on with Omri Amsalam, CRO and co-founder of Atris. Hi there, Omri. How are you?
Hey, thanks. Thanks for having me here.
Absolutely. So Omri, I was hoping you could tell us a bit about what Atris does and what you do at Atris. If you were going to explain Atris to somebody outside of the industry, how would you describe it?
So it's a good one, especially when you're saying someone outside our industry, which is not that simple, but I'll give it a shot. Atris is actually an open travel platform for corporates, travel agencies, and suppliers, if we want to keep it simple. But if we want to dig down, it's actually a hybrid of an advanced corporate booking tool and a full-fledged agent desktop, forming together a collaborative platform with an agnostic and diversified travel inventory. So essentially, we are offering a new infrastructure for corporate travel. We actually, with our technology, looking how to disintermediate, or I would say unbundle, travel supply, enabling corporates and TMCs to unlock savings, reaching different levels of productivity, and having a holistic solution and a new one to manage for managed travel. So besides saying TMCs, I try to keep it simple for someone outside the industry.
Wonderful. And how did you, what's been your journey? How did you end up at Atris?
So it's actually interesting because we started our way as a spin-off out of two highly visionary TMCs. One is, you know, in Israel, and the other one was a very successful one in the UK. So back in 2015, when we started, out of these two, inside these two TMCs, you know, two meaningful things happened. Content fragmentation got to new levels. And we saw the first NDC talks starting to get shape. And, you know, OTAs were already highly dominant, and supplier.com on travel, you know, was contributing to the content fragmentation. Aside to that, back in 2015, we were spotting, you know, very early, on very early days, the new type of TMCs, the OTMCs or the online TMCs, starting, you know, to get their acts and plan, you know, that, you know, their moves on legacy TMCs. And this actually, all this together shaped our vision quite sharply and quickly on where is our place and how we would deliver value across the board with our technology. So this is where we started. Today we are in totally different place. So, you know, as a standalone SaaS provider, we gain a lot of traction in some main European markets and in the UK where we started, where the, you know, content fragmentation is very aggressive compared to North America. And during 21, we also started our engagements in North America, which goes very well. We actually started COVID with more than around 100 TMCs and more than 2,000 corporates using the tool. And we had what we call it internally with our investors, a COVID boom. We got 300%, you know, tremendous growth of new clients in COVID.
Oh, goodness.
And, yeah, and for us, it was, you know, totally against expectations and forecasts when, you know, March 20 hit us all. And one thing that is might, you know, maybe interesting for this podcast is that just before COVID, we achieved very interesting milestone. So we got to, for us, it was amazing, 76% adoption rate on NDC, on the corporate space.
Wow.
Which, you know, our airlines saw that as a great success because unlike, you know, OTAs and leisure, getting the adoption on the corporate side was and still a challenge, right? Because all
Absolutely.
The things that we're probably going to speak today.
Very, very much so. That's impressive, Omri. Can you share a little bit? I have so many questions for you, but can you share a little bit about why you think you were able to achieve that adoption rate? Is it the markets that you're in, or do you think it's something else?
I think it's a mix. Definitely the markets. You know, we were in the core, or in the heart of the storm of content fragmentation in the UK and Europe. So looking on, you know, the low-cost carrier arena, looking at, you know, the airlines that were pushing hard and taking aggressive moves on you know, on their NDC play, let's say that. So content differentiation, putting the right, you know, value on the channel, if it's the offering, if it's the right commercial model to, you know, to the TMCs that needs to convert that. And not only that, it's these airlines that were also, and we worked very close together because it was not from day one, you know, that we got to that adoption. We started our first NDC implementation, I think it was 2017. And we got to that adoption, as I said, just pre-COVID, because there was a maturity and evolution stage that we had to make sure how the end-to-end process will look like, because, you know, 25% of the business trips are being touched, are being changed. You need to look on all, you know, the aspects. I'm talking here about the post-sale capabilities, about, you know, how do you feed the pipes? And
yep.
I think looking on that, and for us, it was not how many airlines we will integrate, you know, to our tool. It's the way we will integrate them in order to achieve, you know, to get to such milestones.
Interesting.
One other thing, Sarah, before we go on.
Sure, go for it.
You know, in our industry, I know it's hard because we don't always like to put people in buckets, and there are a lot of hybrid situations. Omri, would you consider yourself in the aggregator kind of role, or would you consider yourself kind of an aggregator hybrid booking tool kind of situation? Or do you even want to put yourself in any of those categories?
No, I think aggregator is obviously not, you know, what we are doing. Aggregation is one of the means, you know, to strike on our vision in order to get that holistic an agnostic solution over an open platform. You need to aggregate content, and it's, you know, coming from different sources, and the challenge comes after you integrate this content. But I think what makes us very different is the fact that we chose, you know, a different route. I won't say it's obviously not an easy one, because we could tackle only the corporate space, you know, being a corporate booking tool with you know, some interesting offering. Or just the TMC space, right? But we chose to go on both. We understood that, you know, forming a collaborative concept and tackling the pains and needs of both TMCs and corporates together with aggregating content, which is one of the pains, right? You know, which I think, you know, definitely what, you know, puts us in a different place or differentiate us.
You stole my next question, which was you know, if you were talking to somebody in an elevator and they ask you what was different, what do you see yourself as being different than your competition? How would you describe your main difference?
So it's very different. It's very important to who I'm pitching this elevator pitch, because if it's someone outside and GDS doesn't mean anything to him, it would be probably, you know, a bit challenging. But and we have
okay,
that with
me.
The investors.
Describe it to me, Omri.
But this is the challenge, and you're right. You know, we need to, at the end of the day, we need to simplify, you know, a value should come out of it. So what makes us different is we are providing a holistic solution to two very important stakeholders. So the obviously the corporate users,
right.
But you know, their TMC partners. And we are reinventing the way they do business, looking, you know, on both needs in a way that we need to stay also agnostic. And this is where the suppliers comes, coming to the equation, how we are allowing this intermediate concept and creating these connections between the suppliers to the corporates, right? So, you know, one of the things of NDC, of the vision, is that the airlines would be able to nurture the relationship with the end user, but not neglecting here the stakeholder, which is the TMC, because the TMC, we grew up from a TMC. We understand the importance, you know, of the TMC in the equation. So integrated solution and the way we look at things, this is where we stand out.
That's awesome. When you when you're looking at, and you talked about a bunch of different stakeholders, when you're dealing with each of them, can you talk a little bit about the hesitancies that they have when you're talking to them, or what's holding some of these stakeholders back from moving forward, and maybe how you've addressed that?
Yeah, so, you know, it would be probably easier to choose here the TMCs and their hesitations, because, you know, what we are doing is striking the heart of their operations. And this is, you know, no change is easy, especially if you are, you know, highly dependent on, you know, legacy systems that, you know, started their journey in the 70s.
Yes.
And got to certain, they are doing great, right? You know, they brought the stakeholders, the TMCs, to a high level of automation and efficiencies. But it comes also with some, you know, they're lacking a few things looking at the environment today. So the DMCs, what we see today, or what we, you know, saw, is concerns and reluctances with around the operational stuff. You know, when dealing with many different channels, how the operation will look like, how they will feed the downstream process, making sure that the pipes are working and they're not losing data, meaning their clients are not losing data, and they don't want to lose on the automation and productivity by getting that. And I'm not even getting into the concerns and questions about commercials, right? Commercial is a big box, and how it will work, and what, you know, how the value chain will work on the commercial side. This is a different story. I think that many understood the way it will work. If you were speaking to me, you know, back in 2018, it was still, you know, a big question mark, but today I think it's clearer. And what we see today regarding these concerns, so about, you know, 4 or 5 years after our first NDC integration, and now where we are working in parallel on 5 GDSs connected, and dozens of air, rail, hotel, car, parking, taxis, APIs, all of them connected into one ecosystem, we see that our early adopters are now in a very good shape. So it means, you know, they are already implemented with our capabilities around supplier and booking channel policies, and they have the right business rules in place, and they are fully covered on post-sale servicing. So, you know, the 25% of their bookings, when an executive calls or, you know, chat with them, they can access that booking, even if it's not on the legacy channels, and they can service it properly without picking up the phone. And also creating a hybrid, let's call it records, you know, not PNRs, where they are combining legacy channels and the new type of channels, booking channels, into, you know, one record and enriching the offering. And it's actually, you know, being ready to base your processes on a data-centric, highly automated process to feed your mid and back office, rather than to be P&L centric or, you know, other, you know, legacy processes. Yes. That created the dependency.
I think that's key.
That is super key. And it's essentially not completely, but it's one order in a way. You have set yourself up obviously very well for anything that comes next. It's
an order-based future. Yep.
Yeah. An order-based future.
To me, to see a record in my system coming from a PMC, to see a record in my system, you know, we call it a trip. We don't call it a PNR. But in that trip, I can see, you know, an EasyJet segment coming from an aggregator. Then I have another PNR, which is the, you know, the let's say BA or Lufthansa. So, you know, we are bundling here, you know, segments from different booking channels for one trip. And then, so this is, you know, the local scale, this is the NDC, and then hotel comes from wherever, you know, booking, Expedia, and then I have rail. And then I go to that PMC, you know, downstream process, and there's no passive PNR. To me, this is the magic.
Wow, that you just did magic. I'm extremely impressed.
So this is the you know, journey to reduce the dependency and to move to, you know, mindset with enriched data that the JSON will feel, you know, would feed your downstream process with, you know, such kind of diversified record like I described. And this is just an example. And that's, you know, incredible. It can be also a GDS PNR part of this, you know, segments that I described.
So where do you see your tool going in the future in the next, let's say, 3 years? And where do you see the industry moving with Omnichannel in the next few years?
So the way I see the next, you know, the future ahead of us, I think that fragmentation will accelerate. What we saw in the last, you know, 3 years pre-COVID, it will go, you know, further deep. And it's more, you know, related to the vendors, the you know, the inventory suppliers, that they are now much more confident about their capabilities to distribute directly. So they can, you know, have a combined approach, and today they are on different, you know, in different places. And this is also thanks a lot to a lot of new emerging technologies that are enabling that at scale. And we see ourselves, you know, maintaining, you know, the open platform concept, allowing, you know, a fair play and share to the suppliers to work through the platform, not being on the distributor side. So we were never positioning ourselves as a distribution platform, because this is totally against our concept, but driving the value across the board, you know, to the different stakeholders, but making sure that the necessary, you know, processes and operation stuff and servicing and data, and it comes, you know, how do you feed how do you feed into the sustainability needs and COVID-19 information, which is also, you know, a challenge. So there is a lot to do, and we see our roadmap. We wish, you know, we could do most of what we want to do, you know, in a shorter time, but there is a, you know, usually a natural evolution that things need to take place. But super excited, you know, about the way forward.
I'm excited, and I don't even work for your company, and I'm excited for you. So I'm curious. Sarah just mentioned the hot word. Of course, we're called Omnichannel Chatter here. But what do you think? And people love to kind of throw around that term, and it means something different to everyone. What do you think? How do you define Omnichannel, Omri, and what do you think is the biggest myth out there in the industry around Omnichannel?
Yeah, so you're right. You know, it means, and maybe it should mean different things to different people, and it's not like one definition, and, you know, it's a term that was taken from multi-channel, from marketing, and, you know, was inherent into our world of travel. And, you know, if you try to simplify that, if I'm a traveler or an agent, right, I'm a user, and I'm going and I need to change my, you know, my airline ticket, my ticket, and it can be BA or Lufthansa or whatever. And my user journey should be identical and seamless, regardless if it was booked via a GDS, you know, if it's an Edifact, or if it's an NDC direct API, or if it's an aggregator. The journey that when I search, saw the result, booked, or changed afterwards, it should be unified. It should be seamless. So it doesn't matter the booking channel. So this is like when I'm trying to crystallize it. And if you look even on, you know, the hotel side of the business, and when I'm searching on a tool like ours, or, you know, our great competitors out there, and there are two GDS feeds, you know, to, you know, feeding hotel content, and maybe three OTAs feeding also, and few direct APIs of hotel chains connected in the back. Now, I want the content, I want the room names, I want the fare rules, I want them to be standardized. I want to compare between these highly valuable, you know, sources that I mentioned in seconds, right? I don't want to lose on the sources because, you know, because what I just described doesn't happen, because the value will come if I will have this experience looking at all these channels, but that has to be easy. Otherwise, it will become a nightmare and I will just book whatever, it, you know, whatever fits to that need.
And that is so key. I think you're very much distilling it back to the customer. I think that that's really where we should be focused on what is that experience like for that end user.
Definitely. Really well, Omri. Thank you.
I'm just trying to take it from my own eyes and, you know, looking at the challenges that we experience. And, you know, you touched on a point or mentioned a point about, you know, there are myths out there, right? Because, you know, we have a great concept of a standardized schema of NDC, which is a good example of, you know, one of the things. And although it's supposed to be one protocol standardized, we all know every airline for us, it's a new evolution, it's a new integration. And, you know, we have to get it to that omnichannel concept, even though it's NDC and all of them, you know, being led by one organization, etc. But, you know, it's not standardized. And we see that by, you know, we see in the market new great entrants, like, you know, we have Kite, we have, you know, Duffel that goes back, and what they're doing, right? They're tackling on that pain to make it standardized. So it's actually exactly talking to that me, you know, point.
You, it's so interesting. You hit on a topic that came up at an event that I was at recently. There were two things that came out of it for me. And one was, you know, the jokingly calling NDC a non-standard standard. And that was mentioned once or twice. And then the second thing was, can we please stop calling it new distribution capability? And that was said with vehemence at the event. And so I'm curious, do you think we'll ever get away from calling it NDC?
I don't know. I think, you know, it has and it will bring, you know, different value and added value, so it can fully justify the you know, the name of a new distribution capability that allows you. But I do see that it goes, you know, to that direction. So we are working on a new, completely new, not revamped user interface. And, you know, we are keen to see how we are putting that value on the storefront, right? So, and we do we know it's not, and we know it's not easy and it's not happening overnight. But we see things are happening, right? We see that, you know, people were fully skeptic when we were jumping on the train, doing, you know, early days at Canada, American Airlines, Lufthansa, BA, Air France, KLM. And, you know, not all of them, you know, took off at the same, you know, pace, but we see that it's no more like a speculation. It's happening and it will be also enriched. And I think the name should stay there. So it's a long answer to a short question.
No, I love answer. It. I was just, you got, I, cause I remember you guys being in all of the very early NDC meetings and your presentations and jumping in early. So I was just, that's why I was curious your answer, Omri. Thank you.
Yeah, you got it. Don't remind me these days, right? You know, there were many bullets in the chest that we took for the other tech providers. And, you know, but it was good, right? A lot of learning.
No, it was good.
Absolutely. So, Omri, I'm curious if you could drive the industry to go in a certain way, if you could wave a magic wand and say, this is where I hope the industry goes in the next 3 to 5 years, where would you like to see it go? Where would you like to see change?
So it's a good one, right? You know, I'm always looking at all the values that are untapped, that are unlocked. And, you know, if you want to get there, the industry should be unleashed from legacy, antique constraints that we are all familiar with, from being highly, you know, commercially fueled, we spoke about at the beginning. And all these, you know, elements together are actually compromising, you know, the traveler experience. And I'm talking here about managed travel, right? You know, I'm not jumping into leisure. It's a different thing. But on our space, on managed travel, corporate travel, these kind of things, you know, seeing the industry unleashed from the points that I mentioned will really, you know, drive change and, you know, bring the right value into the hands of the right stakeholders, which are also the, you know, not only the travelers, but also the travel agents.
Great. I have one other, maybe a little oddball of a question. You guys are based in Israel. So you have a pretty unique perspective because you have global clients. I was hoping that you could talk a little bit about maybe the, some of the differences that you're seeing and how suppliers and then, you know, agents view omnichannel globally. Is there a view in Europe versus North America or in Israel that does it look the same around the world?
Yes, I have to say that if I'm, you know, hearing my sales team and my customer success team, you know, you hear different USPs of Atris being utilized in the different markets. So you're right, because the pains are different, right? So when we're speaking with North American, you know, TMCs, corporates, it's mainly about our, you know, collaborative concept, bringing value and differentiation to other OBTs that are out there in the market, putting the agent and the traveler on the same platform. So it's less about NDC and about content fragmentation. It's great that we have, you know, direct connects to, you know, suppliers that also drive value in North America. NDC is still not big in North America, but we do see a change. We do see, you know, speaking with our partners, airline partners in North America, we do see also the interest coming from corporates, by the way, you know, also corporates and also TMCs that are trying and starting to prepare themselves. In Europe, it's a different game, right? Over there, it's a bleeding, you know, wound that you need to tackle right now, immediately, and you know, this together with our other capabilities on the TMC side and you know, corporate side, it's driving together, you know, it's highly accelerated when you are combining these two different areas of USPs of the tool. And again, you look at the markets, you see different stuff, right? User experience is much, you know, the sensitivity is much higher in North America versus Europe, which is also getting there. But, you know, the tolerance is different. Agent productivity, you know, huge thing in North America. And especially now in COVID, we see that also on both markets. You know, people, you know, had their agents, great agents with years of experience on furlough for too long. Some of the people just moved outside the industry, right? You try now. I see many of my clients recruiting people struggling because they need to recruit fresh people. They don't want to train them to be cryptic, you know, or they don't want to train them on their cryptic skills. And here you have, you know, a platform that the traveler works and the agent, he doesn't need to know cryptic because he has everything he needs on a proper full-fledged agent desktop. And by the way, if he wants to work cryptic, we have this solution as well because we want to address the different personas within the PMCs, but we are helping them, you know, bounce back quicker. So, yeah, it's a big platform, you know, with a lot of different, you know, aspects, and many of them are coming into shape also now, you know, coming out of COVID. Just want to say coming out. For us, we are already past our numbers of 2019, thanks to a lot of growth that we had, as I mentioned. But, you know, we see our clients, you know, in supporting them, you know, jumping back safely.
You stole my last question.
Well, I'll jump in here and ask you, Omri, both from your company's perspective, your particular area of our fascinating industry, and then the industry itself, what is it that excites you about being in the space, and what do you see coming that really kind of keeps you tethered to what you're doing here in this industry?
Yeah, at the end of the day, you know, it's like speaking, you know, to different investors, and you know, it's not, you know, there's no limitation to the size of the check that we can get in order to do stuff, and it's related to it's related to the amount of, you know, nodes or aspects, if you would say, that are involved in each trip. When you think about it, each business trip, there are so many things that you can touch on with innovation. You know, if it's the cost, if it's the experience, if it's the safety, right? You know, if it's the compliance that you can look at that, if it's the efficiency of the user or the agent, you know, sustainability that we spoke about, and even HR retention, right? You know, people are, you know, traveling a lot. We are, you know, are wearing them off, and you know, we are overlooking all of that, all of these aspects. And for me, this is a, you know, an endless ground of innovation that we can bring into, you know, improve different, you know, each one of these different, you know, elements that I just gave an example, and there are many more. So this is what makes me super, you know, excited and fascinated on the industry, why I'm seeing myself also for still many years on the tech side of the corporate travel. So yeah, hope it's...
That was actually a phenomenal answer, because you are, you know, as you talked about that, I actually just could envision all of those pieces. And I guess we do see so many areas where there's room, there's so much room to change and grow, even with, I hate to say it, but even with technologies from 10 years ago would make certain areas be a lot more efficient, let alone the technologies for today. So I really enjoyed that answer, Omri. Thank you very much.
ARC Travel Demand offers timely visibility into air travel activity from the industry's most accurate and comprehensive airline sales and traffic data. Users gain insight into the current travel environment and upcoming travel demand with data up to 12 months in the future and 5 years of historical data for benchmarking.
All right, Omri, so part of our podcast, every time we have had our guests answer a series of lightning round questions, and these are five questions that are sort of fun and light, and you have no idea what we're going to ask you, so we're going to put you on the spot. All right, so the first one is, what's the most beautiful place you've ever visited?
For me, Antibes in South France.
Ooh,
oh, never lovely. Been. I've been to South France, but never there.
Interesting. You should
try. This is how Shelly and I are getting some kind. Our...
Yeah, this is how we're getting our next travel.
Our nice next travel list.
It takes you back to a different, you know, time in life, like beautiful 70s.
Oh, very
nice. A lot of style.
Okay, I'll have to try it. What's your favorite airport or travel experience?
Airport or travel experience? Mm-hmm. I think my connections in Heathrow, usually flying to the West Coast, are the easiest one and then the best ones. I don't know, specifically probably to me, because I'm getting my 1 hour connection. I'm barely, you know, hitting the ground.
I love that. It's very efficiency focused. It's efficiency focused. I love that. Okay, Sarah?
All right. What is the one book you'd take to a desert island?
The 5 a.m. Club.
I haven't read it. What's it about?
You should take a look. It's it's something that changed your perception about many things. And again, it's touching a lot about efficiency and productivity and priority and focus. And it actually helps you to understand that when we start our day, usually what we are doing, we are being responsive to our kids, to our colleagues, to our WhatsApps, to our emails, right? We can't really be focused on what we want to do. And you have 1 hour in the day that you don't have WhatsApps and emails and notifications between 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. Usually nobody is going to interrupt, and your kids are still sleeping if you still have young kids. And this is the victory hour where you can really dedicate even 60 minutes to yourself.
Interesting.
What you really want to achieve.
Okay.
Yeah, Robin Sharma. Sharma or Sharma.
I'll add it to the list.
Definitely. Okay, Amri, what's the best piece of advice you'd give someone?
I think, it can be a little bit dramatic, but looking on my, former businesses that I had, which were, medical travel, and we were dealing with very severe cases of people coming from different countries to get super advanced treatments around oncology mainly, I got, really firsthand the sight that things are changing very fast in our life. We can really think that we are planning ahead. It's good to plan ahead, but we really have to enjoy the journey. It's a must for me, right? Because we are planning, someone else has a different plan, and it can hit us like that. And it hit me, while, building that company, getting, very sad cases from developed countries coming to seek for advanced medical treatments. So I was seeing that too much, and I said, what the heck? Things can change in a day. And, we miss things while sometimes, during
Absolutely.
The journey.
Planning for other things, for sure.
Yeah. Wow. So I don't want to be dramatic, but
it's
important.
Very poignant.
Very deep.
I thought it was a very good, very great answer. Okay, last question.
Last one. Okay. Would you prefer to have the superpower of invisibility, mind reading, or flight?
Mind reading would be the one.
All right,
yes, finally somebody said something other than flight.
looking at the the amount of situations that I see people that don't understand each other and misunderstandings, if you could read the other mind, things could be much more, ironed up. And for me, I'm seeing, finding myself, repeating myself, explaining again and again. So mind reading, really, it would really save me a lot of time.
That's a point.
Or you'd go running from the building.
It's so poignant. I know, it's great.
Well, thank you, Amri. I know we're cutting it short on time and don't want to take up too much more of your busy day. I just can't thank you enough for spending this time with us. Really appreciated getting to know you and your company better. And hopefully, I think our audience will too.
Absolutely. Really enjoyed getting to know you and spending a little bit of time with you.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Appreciate the opportunity. It was great talking to you both. And always, it's an interesting topic that is keeping on evolving, even though it's being discussed again and again. There is always, new things to add. So, good luck with the podcast, and thanks again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the ARC Talk podcast. Be sure to subscribe and follow ARC on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter for the latest updates. We look forward to bringing you more in-depth discussions around omnichannel retailing in this series.